And Smashville, good morning, and thank you for joining us. It is Morning Drive. We are off and running here on a Monday on ESPN 102.5. The Game, Nick Braden, D-Mace, Josh Upton in this morning for the Constable, who has taken one last flight to Big D. Boys?
I thought you were not necessarily one last flight, just to Dallas.
To Dallas,
this will
yes.
be their last flight. Okay, I just want to clarify for people out there.
This might be one the last flight to Dallas. The last game we get to go to or get to watch.
Well, there'll be no more Preds games in American Airlines Arena.
Absolutely.
This spring. That
regardless,
much I can guarantee.
Yeah. Yes. Regardless, no matter what.
Yes. The question is, how many other hockey games are there for the Predators altogether?
Do we get an opportunity to watch hockey? Will hockey represent Nashville again next week or later on this week? Or will we be...
Well, real quick.
What happened on Saturday?
Before we get angry, everybody have a good Easter?
Yeah, I had a great Easter.
Yeah, like yesterday's weather, I mean,
weather was
absolutely
wonderful.
Gorgeous. Went to church with one family, went out and had some prime rib and some Yorkshire pudding with the other family.
A little au jus.
You got to get it before it starts to harden there with all that saturated fat and cholesterol. But no, delicious. Delicious. Girls had a great time with sets of grandparents, so... All was well on Easter in my family. I don't know about you guys.
Good. Let's get pissed off now. You guys ready to get angry? We got the pleasantries out of the way?
Yeah, we got them all out of the way.
One bullet point for me just right out of the gate. Who knew that Gavin DeGraw would be a precursor for what would transpire in the game? Because on Saturday, beautiful national anthem from Mr. DeGraw falls flat on his face, goes right down on the ice. Game starts, Rocco Grimaldi gets a goal, and then the Preds fall flat on their ice. Or on their face, on the ice.
Oh, you almost did it.
On their ASS.
You almost did it perfectly.
On that
so thank you, Mr. DeGraw.
I drank beer in college with Gavin DeGraw one time.
How was it?
It seemed like a nice guy. The defense, to me, is what fell flat on their face. And that includes forwards. I want to make sure, because I think people misunderstand when you say, oh, the defense is terrible. I think people assume you're talking about just the blue liners. And we're definitely talking about the blue liners. Make no mistake. We're definitely talking about you, Ellis, Ekholm, Subban, and Yossi. But we're also talking about the forward play in the defensive zone. It's not the power play, although that's been bad. It's not secondary scoring. That's actually been okay. Rocco Grimaldi has 3 goals. It's not necessarily the Jofa line, even though we're going to talk about that because they need to be better tonight. It's about the way this team has played defense. They are terrible on the defensive end of the zone. They turn the puck over all the time. It's not just the blue liners. It's the forwards. It is their own play in their own offensive zone that has been the problem, whether it's taking penalties, turning the puck over, giving up high-danger chances for 3 straight games now. You cannot expect to win games when you hang your goaltender out to dry. That is what they've done now 3 games in a row. Pekka stole one of them. Outside of that, boys, I just look at this team and I go, I don't see a whole lot of this is fighting for the rest of our life here. I don't see a whole lot of that. You've given up 10 goals in 2 games to the worst offensive hockey team in the postseason when your season was hanging in the balance. 10 goals.
But here's the thing. If you even track back to last year, when the season was in balance, what happened? They gave up, 6 or 7 goals, and they got eliminated by Winnipeg. When they had to buckle down and show the city of Nashville that, you know, that they were ready, they were prime, they were physically, mentally ready to go. They laid an egg against Winnipeg. Winnipeg scored 6 or 7 goals. Fast forward, when they had to come back home and show that the 2 or 3 nights before was basically an outlier. What do? Do it again. So it's not an outlier. What is happening here is Dallas's defense is dictating their offense. They're playing really good defense, and that's dictating their offense. It's the common thing across every sport, and coaches will tell you. A lot of times our defense dictates our offense. If we're dominating, that tends to lead to things offensively, especially in hockey and basketball, because both set of guys play both ends of the court or the ice. So if you play really good defense, that sets you up for your offense. And right now, Dallas's defense is smothering, and it's making the Nashville Predators very inconsistent. They are not disciplined. Ekholm again, another dumb, stupid penalty. We're sitting there. Nick and I were sitting up there, and Ekholm has a guy. It's like, dude, just let him go now. And you kept it up. Like, you're a marked man already. Anything you do, they're looking to throw you in a box. And his ass just don't get it. It's like,
He said a series to forget.
Yeah, I said yesterday, I mean, I said the other day, I said, Lobby needs to sit his ass down. Just sit him, put him on it, because he's put them in a position too many times where they've had a Dallas has had a man advantage because of some things that he's done. He's done, no one else but him. He has to understand and realize that, you know what, I can't do this. I got to pull up. If it even looks like I'm about to create get a penalty, I got to pull up. I just can't put my team in a position where I'm in the penalty box more than I'm on the ice. And yesterday, it was that. He put himself in a position where, day before yesterday, put himself in a position where his team was on a disadvantage. Okay? And then again, I mean, what did I say when we were sitting up there? When they introduced everyone and the Predators came out, I said, this crowd's flat. I said, this crowd is, it's something's wrong. This crowd is not into it. And they didn't get into it really until after the first goal. And then everything just kind of quieted down again. I mean, I don't know if the fans felt, you know, what was going on the ice. I don't know. But from the drop of the puck, the fans were not in it.
First of all, very disappointed I wasn't sitting with you guys. Thanks for the invite.
No, you didn't want to sit. You were gone at first.
No, I know.
But don't worry. We only had two seats anyway.
Yeah.
Nothing better than sitting next to Kalen DeMays at a hockey game. Nothing better. Here's the thing about the Ekholm penalty. Like, it's funny. I don't really have a problem with his intent in that situation because dude is just slapping at your goaltender while he's covering the puck. The problem is you're letting the dude slap at the goaltender while he's covering the puck. Dallas feels like they are okay slapping the goaltender while he's covering the puck, which is unacceptable, and you have to go over and get in his face a little bit. But Ekholm loses his cool, goes a little too far, starts burying the guy into the boards. The whole point is that Dallas feels like they can do whatever they want. And when another team in hockey feels like they can just push you around, and when Pekka's sitting on the puck can come over and just like the dude's laying on the ground and he's just hacking at your goaltender, that is unacceptable in sort of like a unwritten rule type of way, right?
Sure.
And that's why Ekholm goes after the guy. So I'm kind of like, in one hand I'm going, yes, show me some fight and defend yourself, show me that, because they certainly haven't. Show me that and show me why is this guy allowed to just hack at Pekka? And Ekholm was trying to do the right thing, I think, in that situation, which is show some fight. But, of course, it leads to
another penalty,
and they can't kill it off.
Look at this whole series, I kind of feel like it's a microcosm of the season. Because I said about a week and a half ago, when the regular season came to a close, it felt like the 100 points in the Central Division was a little misleading, right? Like, it didn't feel like a team that won 100 points and won another division. This series feels misleading with Dallas only up 3-2. It feels like the Predators should be already done. Like, this series should have been over in five. Well, Dallas wins 4-1.
Because Pekka stole a game.
Right.
Yeah, Pekka stole.
Stole game three.
The Dallas Stars have bullied the Nashville Predators the whole series. You can tell that they just feel like this team can't beat us. If we just continue, this is how they feel, honestly. No matter what the Predators do, even if they play their best game, we got to play our worst game. That's the only way you're going to win. Because how did they win? How did the Nashville Predators win? Their goalie played his worst game ever.
Well, in Dallas's blueprint has been very simple. Play great defense, force turnovers at the Predators' end of the ice to set up high percentage looks, and, of course, spend more when we were sitting there in that first, let's call it the first period and change, so we'll call it the first 25 minutes of actual game time. How much time did we sit there and say, man, they are spending a ton of time at the Preds' end? Well, sooner or later, the dam's going to break.
Yeah, we spent that whole first period. And then after the first period, you look and they're only up 14-9 shots, meaning Dallas. But it was just the perception of it seemed like Dallas was on the other end the whole first period. But they were pelting Pekka the whole first period.
And he made multiple stops while he was spread eagle on his butt.
He made some stops that you were just thinking like, man, that was great. But eventually, it's going to wear on him.
He's just laying there taking shots.
Wore on him, and he scored, and he gave up a goal.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons the team is down 3-2. Again, not a great power play. Jofa has particularly been, especially Saturday, Jofa was dominated by their top line. You know, you can go down the list. Pekka had his moment of not being great. Of course, he's been very good otherwise in this series. It's not any of those things. It's not the penalty kill. It's not even taking bad penalties. Those are all bad things, and they need to be corrected, but it's not it. The reason they're down is because their defense has not been good, and that is not Predator hockey. Here's the other thing that people on Twitter will tell you, and I tend to agree with fans that are close to this team. This is not a problem that just started cropping up against Dallas. That this is a problem that's been slowly building over the last year and a half. And I listen, they could still win tonight and still win on Sunday, so that we can't bury this team yet. Because to your point, Derek, about what have we seen from this team? Well, when they get into elimination mode, game six situations, they've been good. You know, they win in Colorado on the road. They win on the road in Winnipeg facing elimination. I know they weren't facing elimination against Colorado, but they've answered and bounced back. So there's a really good chance they win tonight. It's just I don't have any confidence in it. So we're sort of talking like the series is over. But let's be clear on why they are here where they are at 3-2, and it's their defense. And that includes the play of the forwards in their own defensive zone. To me, this is about their defensive zone execution and how terrible it's been for the better part of the series. Again, 10 goals to the worst offensive team in the playoffs.
Hold on.
That's all you need to
know. And I was the blowhard a week ago saying, there's no way Dallas wins the series. They don't have enough offense.
Yeah.
Well, 10 goals the last two games.
Listen, they've had
– I feel like Stillman.
How many goals they give up during a season against Dallas? They played them, what, four, five times?
Yeah, there was like a 5-3 game, a 3-1 game that they lost, a 2-0 game they lost, a 5-4 game that they won in overtime, I think. So, I mean, it's not like they didn't have a couple of those.
So, let's say in five games –
the two lowest scoring teams in the playoffs.
Let's say in five games they've given up – a little bit over 15 goals, right? In five games.
I think it was 14-14, I think.
Okay, 14-14.
Just under three a game.
Under three a game. In this series, they've given up 16 goals. 16 goals in this series against a team that coming into the series was basically one of the worst teams. They were at the bottom. They were, what, 28th,
yep.
29th,
yep.
30th in scoring? You've given up 16 goals to a team that was 30th in scoring throughout the season. 16 goals and 10 in the last two. There's no excuse for that.
Yeah. All right, so the Predators lose to the Stars 5-3 Saturday in Game 5 at Bridgestone Arena. Dallas up 3-2. You'll get Game 6 tonight. Play-by-play begins shortly after 7:30 here on 102.5 The Game. The pregame at 6:30, and history shows, as we gave you the stat on Friday, the winner of Game 5 when the series is 2-2 and a best-of-7 goes on to win 79% of the time. So Predators trail. They have about a 21% chance to come back and win this series. It is Morning Drive. We're live this morning from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesaling Mount Juliet. We'll come back. We'll take your calls. Here's the number, 615-737-1025, 737-1025. It's Morning Drive, live on a Monday on ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
There's nothing really happening with the Preds defense corps right now, but there is something happening new at Xfinity, and
it's all about you.
There we go. There we go. Yeah, that's right. It's all about you, because now you can customize your own package with Xfinity. Thanks, Derek.
You're welcome.
Derek Pock. What does that mean? It means you can get more of what you want and less of what you don't. Say you want TV that's just sports and news channels. Done. Xfinity has flexible channel packages that allow you to customize your entertainment. Or maybe your family wants super fast internet to power 25 devices and the latest in home security. Xfinity has you covered. Simply choose the internet speed that's right for you and add additional services like home security with just a few clicks. And if you're a gamer that only wants really, really fast internet and none of that other stuff like landlines or kids channels, perfect. Just pick your internet speed as well. Forget about packages that with extra channels or services that you don't want. It's time to customize your own package just the way you like it. Go online today and check it out for yourself. You can see the price adjusts as you customize and watch the savings add up. Introducing a new way to customize your own package and save with Xfinity. Everybody likes customizing their own package. Now that's simple, easy, and awesome. Go to Xfinity.com/customize. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit an Xfinity store today for more details.
.618, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. A lot of Preds to start the show today, reacting to Game 5, getting you set for Game 6 tonight. NFL Draft Week is upon us. Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, going to join us at 9 a.m. today, boys. This could be the busiest week we've had in a long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
Rest up. Sleep at a premium.
We have 20. I don't know. Derek's schedule, you have a slightly different schedule, but not really. Mm-hmm. Nick and I believe we have 23-ish hours of radio in 3 days, something like that.
Yeah. We try to. I mean, we're supposed to. I mean, we're somewhere during the week. I mean,
we
once
will
the
be,
draft starts.
We will be in the middle of it all. I don't think we can tell you yet, though.
Exactly. But we're going to be somewhere.
Josh says no, we're not allowed to tell
you. Yeah,
anybody.
We're going to be somewhere.
Like, remember back in the day with professional wrestlers? Uh-huh. From parts unknown.
Right.
We will be from parts unknown.
If you see Nick's shiny head, then you know we're there.
And you don't know what kind of parts you're going to see when you're down in the middle of all
exactly.
this unknown.
We'll be in that muck.
We'll be there. We'll be there.
In the throng of people. One of those.
Yeah.
All of those.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep.
All right, now you got.
One day we'll be able to tell you guys.
Yeah.
What
yes.
the hell's going on Thursday?
Be listening in the 7 o'clock hour. So again, 7 o'clock hour this morning, we have an incredible giveaway to give to one special listener. We'll tell you how you can qualify to win that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. But let's get your Preds call 615-737-1025. Justin in Greenbrier is going to start us off here this morning on Morning Drive. What's up, Justin?
What's up, guys? Did you have a good Easter?
Yep.
Yes, we did.
About yourself?
Well, it would have been better if Preds won, but the way I look at it, and there's a couple comments I want to make about the game. One, the desperate comment by PK, it's about time y'all start playing desperate, okay? Because this team has been bullying you around since game one. And what Chris Mason said after the game, we have to be comfortable playing a 2-1 or a 3-2 game because we're not going to score enough goals. We got to play defense in front of Pekka. And that's all I want to bring up right there.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay,
Justin.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Here's the thing. Here's what I'm trying to figure out now because I've heard this several times. Now, and I even said it. Desperation hockey. Well, hell, why your ass hadn't been playing desperation hockey the whole series? That's what I don't get. Y'all see, you understand what I'm saying, and hopefully the listeners understand too. Why does it take you to lose a game to play desperate hockey? I don't get that. I don't understand it because desperate hockey should start the minute the playoffs start because you know if you lose enough times, your ass going to be at home.
Yeah.
Sitting, chilling, watching everybody else. I don't understand this. When they lose, now it has to be desperate hockey.
Well,
that logic just doesn't compute with me.
Like last week or 2 weeks ago. Why are the Predators so good with their backs against the wall? But why are they having this situation where their backs are against the
right.
wall?
That's why I said this team is not great, and people need to stop saying that.
Oh, I don't.
They are not a great team. They had one great season, regular season.
I don't think many people say they're great. I think they're
good to very good. I'm saying in general.
I'm talking about the team in general.
That's a different conversation.
This is not a great team. Great teams play at a level, and they don't dip below that level, okay? Great teams don't wait until something goes wrong, and then we play desperate hockey. That's not the sign of a great team. They're a good team. Right now, they're an okay team. But they are not a great team. They are far from a damn great team.
Well, they were a great postseason team 2 years ago. They were a great regular season team last year. And if they lose tonight, they will have lost three of their last four playoff series, and they'll have more division titles to show for it than series wins. So we'll get into all of that tomorrow. I want to point something out that Justin said. Hey, you've got to get, you know, hey, we as a team, we've got to be comfortable playing 2-1, 3-2 games. In 43 minutes, that's when they scored their third goal on Ben Bishop. They scored three goals on Ben Bishop in 43 minutes, in basically two periods. Mm-hmm. That should be enough to beat the Dallas Stars. You're not expected to score more than three times on a Vezina Trophy finalist who is leading the NHL in save percentage. When you score three goals on that guy, you've had a good night offensively.
That's a good point because
Jofa wasn't that good,
yep.
And you scored three times. There was 43 minutes gone in the game. You still had 17 more minutes, and you were down by two.
Bishop's
that's
one
the problem.
Of the, one of the three finalists, along with Leonard from New York and Vasilevskiy.
Like, give me a great the Baltimore Ravens defense.
Uh-huh.
Like, great, great defense, great rushing defense. Scoring three goals on Ben Bishop in 43 minutes is like having 24 points on Baltimore going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Like, you should win the game.
Yeah. You should lose.
If you can't, and you shouldn't be asked to do more offensively than score 24 points on Baltimore's defense through three quarters. Right? Like, let's just use an analogy here. That's the analogy. If you got three goals on Ben Bishop and there's 15 minutes to play, you should be in the lead.
Yeah.
You should have the lead. And instead, they were down by two. That's ridiculous.
This team reminds me, and you could throw a name. Okay, a rock group that had a great hit back in the day. What's a rock group that had a great hit back in the day? I don't know.
Is this going to go into one-hit wonder territory?
No, it's not in one-hit wonders. Just had a great album, but then kind of disappeared.
Okay, Allman Brothers.
Okay, the Allman Brothers had a great album and just kind of disappeared. But people
Eat a Peach, and then he literally died.
And then people always, and not to say they do this for the Allman Brothers, let's just say somebody else, I don't know. It's like that rock group or that group in general that have a great album or great two or three albums, but then 15 years later, people are still saying they are a great group because they're living off of those two albums, but the four albums that they made after were trash.
They didn't sell. I needed to give you a better analogy.
Exactly.
Than that.
They didn't sell. But people still look at them, oh, they're this great band, because remember back in 72 when they made the album, when they went to Woodstock and they just tore that. I mean, the crowd just went crazy. Everybody was like, ah, the group. People still living off of those days. Well, that's what the Nashville Predators, people are still living off of that cup run, because you hear it every now and then. Remember the cup run? Da-da-da. People are still living off that cup run. But what has happened since that cup run in the playoffs? I'm not talking about the regular season. In the playoffs, what has happened since that cup run?
To your music analogy,
one series.
The Dallas Stars are at Woodstock rocking out. The Preds are at like a symphony.
I'm gonna go. I was with a cello. See, I love it when you ask me to give you musical stuff. But the problem is, I need to know what the analogy is before I give the band. Because like the Allman Brothers are still killer; they're still amazing. Like I was thinking,
what would be a group?
So that's all my brain's been doing. It's been trying to come up with a group that like had one really good album and then is still around. Yeah. It's still like mildly successful, but like not really.
They've never reached that peak again.
And of course, I went to like my high school days, so I thought of Third Eye Blind that had like one great album where it had like four big hits and like everybody loved them. But that was like 25 years ago.
That's like the Predators right now.
And they're still around. They're still touring. Exactly. You can still buy an album if you want. Haven't really heard much from them.
That's the Nashville Predators. It's like they've had a great two hit albums, smash albums. But then it's like, okay, and people are still grabbing those smash albums and saying, this is a great group. No, they were a great group.
Well, and Preds fans need to get back from that
lash,
my friend.
They are a good group now.
These guys don't even that
if they come to town, I might go see them. But then again, I might not. It all depends on if I got something to do that day, I ain't going to see them. Well, that's where the Predators are at this point in time, where people are still grasping at the cup run and saying, this is what we did. They're still grasping at winning the President's Trophy. And they said, this is what we did. And I'm looking at this team now, and this team now is an okay team.
And that's just how it's going to be.
And step back from that ledge, my friend.
And they know, again, they might win the series. I'm not saying they're not going to win the series. That's not what I'm saying, because they can win the next two games, win the series, and move on, and we'll be just fine. But then they have to play St. Louis.
Derek, how many Third Eye Blind quotes could we throw at you in a row until you realize that we're quoting Third Eye Blind to you?
I think that was forever? Third Eye Blind. Was that like, Third Eye Blind?
Would you ever get it, though?
No,
have you ever listened to a Third Eye Blind song?
No, I don't even know how the group look. Are they all blind? I don't know.
Do they have three eyes?
Yeah, they got three eyes.
They've got a semi-charm kind of life, though.
Oh, okay.
615-737-1025. All right, Preds fans, I want to hear some phone calls this morning. We're going to get to Ryan and Mount Juliet. I want to hear beyond the average typical Pred fan that always calls this show. You were complaining. You were yelling on Twitter. You were all vitriolic on Saturday. I want to hear from you. Have you cooled down? Do you still think this team has a chance? Or is tonight it? Is this over? Because me personally, I know we're going to do predictions later. I don't think they win tonight. No, they could. I'm not saying it's a lock they lose, but I don't have any faith they're going to win tonight.
Yeah, like, what's the case? Like, where's the logical, sound reason? I mean, other than sports. Like, hey, Braden, why do you think they're going to win? Sports. Like, that's my only answer. Like, right?
It's sports.
Why do the Preds win? Stuff happens.
Why do you think the Preds have a chance to win tonight? Because sports is sports. I don't, like, other than that, there's not a rational case to be made.
615-737-1025. We'll come back, and I want to throw out this question as well. Who has earned their money so far this postseason for the Predators? I've got three guys. Last time I checked, there was 20-plus players on the team.
This is still an esque here.
No, like it's not a pay what you owe
segment.
Okay. But it's who has earned their money. We're back after this. Stay there. .632, welcome back into Morning Drive. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Josh Upton with you. Your phone call, 615-737-1025. And in just a moment, we're going to get into which Predators have earned their money. Because I've got three guys, and that's pretty much it. In fact, I'll give it to you right now.
Give it to me.
Rocco Grimaldi 100% has earned his money.
He need to get paid more.
Yes. I think the announcer, because the national broadcast, I think the announcer actually called him Arvidsson a few times. I'm not even kidding. I think there was a couple of times where he had to correct himself and say, oh, that's Grimaldi, 23 out there. Couldn't tell. Yep. And I think it happened twice, and I was like, yeah, that's about right.
Pekka, I think, has mostly earned his money. He's had a few blips here and there, but by and large, a relatively good series. I think he's earned most of his money. And the third guy, I would say, is P.K. Subban for probably three of the five games. Mm. But after that, I can't sit here definitively and say so-and-so has earned his money.
I think Colton Sissons is – there's nothing you can ask him to do more. I mean, he's not necessarily a scorer, but knowing him, tonight will be a moment where he comes up big. He's consistent every shift. I think Nick Bonino's been consistent most shifts. Austin Watson just with a terrible mistake on Saturday. It had been a good player up until that point, a terrible mistake. I can't believe I'm saying this. I think Kyle Turris has been pretty solid in this series. Mm. I hate to say that. The second line has been relatively solid, so it just sounds weird to say it out loud. I don't think there have been epic failures where people have just completely disappeared, but it's as a whole. Like, to your point, Nick, there's two or three guys you can point to that have really overachieved. Who's really overachieved? A handful.
Nobody.
A really small number of guys.
I guess you can say they overachieved. But this team, well, the better question is who hasn't earned their money?
Matias Ekholm.
Ryan Ellis.
The Jofa really hadn't earned their line. They hadn't earned their pay. Have they? They did. I mean, they've scored what? The Jofa line scored what? Two goals?
They've got four total points. They scored two goals total. Johansson and Forsberg both have a goal. Now, Forsberg's goal was pretty big, so you got to give him credit for that. They both have an assist. Arvidsson has 0 points. But it's also not all Arvidsson's fault because Dallas has been brilliant against Jofa, so we have to give Dallas some credit on this. But here's the difference on game five. Lavi had the ability to match up who he wanted to because he's at home. He could pick the line, and he continued to put Jofa out there against the Dallas Stars' best line, and the Dallas Stars' best line kept dominating. So at some point, you either need to make an adjustment as a coach or the players need to be better. So I don't have a problem with Jofa. Their effort this series has been pretty good, but they got dominated head-to-head the way that you would expect Jofa to be dominating the other team.
Okay, but the Sagan and Radulov line has outscored them, 17-4?
No, it's been ridiculous.
But okay.
That's total points.
They need to, when they're at home, they have the opportunity to basically choose the matchups, how they want them. And why did Lobby decide to put the Jofa line against Dallas's number one line? Here's the thing. What else do you do? That's like saying in basketball, I'm going to take, Kobe, Shaq, and I don't know who else you want to throw in. Let's throw the LeBron in there right now. Kobe, Shaq, and LeBron against Michael, Akeem Olajuwon, and I don't know. I'm going to throw Joe Dumars. I mean, Isaiah Thomas out there. Just throw him out there. It could be someone else. But you take those three guys, those six guys, and you say, "Well, I'm gonna take my line of Kobe and Shaq, and let them play the second line of the other team." Well, if you do that, we might be down 25 points before they even get in the game. So, I got to believe that my number one, my frontline stars against their frontline stars is going to be a wash at least. Or eventually they're going to play. I can't take my first line to go against their second line. Well, their first line might dominate my second line, and my first line might not even dominate their second line depending on because of the way the series is going. We can't just expect if he moved Joe around that they're going to dominate Dallas' second or third line. Well, Dallas has been playing really good hockey all three lines.
Well, and it's different than the NBA that in general your defensive line plays against the other team's top line. So that's very normal. And in fact, in the series, this was the most Lavi took Jofa and put them up against the top line. So on Saturday, he made the conscious decision to do that. I would assume, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but this is where analytics could help us out here. I would assume that the Bonino, Sissons, Watson line, if when they were together, those three would be going up against the top line because they're the best defensive group that they have. So it's just interesting, like against Chicago 2 years ago, the reason they won that series is that they did go top line against top line, and Ryan Johansson just physically dominated Jonathan Toews, and they beat Chicago's top line like Chicago's top line had never been beaten before, and that is why they won that series 4-0. It was just interesting now because this line as a whole over the last 3 years has been very productive in the postseason. Mm-hmm. They've been Jofa. They've been good. They really haven't been all that terrible this series. They haven't been great. They haven't been terrible. The other line has been so good, though. There is no answer. Whether you put the top line out there against the top line for Dallas, Sagan, Ben, and Radulov, who, by the way, didn't even play together in game one, a game they won. If you don't have an answer for that group, it does it like you're not going to win the series because you're not playing good defense as a team. You're not playing defense on the blue line. You're not playing defense with your forwards. And they have a line that's just unstoppable right now. I mean, like you said, Nick, 16 points for these three guys. Radulov has 4 goals.
He's killing it.
I mean, I think they have 7 goals between the three of them, and Jofa has 4 points. Rocco Grimaldi has 3 by himself.
That line is not earning their pay this series. They're really not.
Well, they got a chance tonight.
They have a chance to do it tonight, but there's no evidence that tells me they are.
Sports.
Because even when they won, it was because of Pekka and Net. It had nothing to do with the guys in front of them, even though they had their spurts. But as a whole, it had nothing to do with the guys in front of them.
Your calls, 737-1025. Let's get to all these guys. Ryan and Mount Juliet, you're up next on Morning Drive. Go ahead, Ryan.
Morning, guys. Look, they need to be better, period. I mean, you have Rocco, you have PK, you have Pekka. That's about all the players right now who are playing for anything on this team. There's no drive. There's no hunger. They look like they're just going through the motion on the ice. They look like they just don't care. If Lavi needs something tonight, need a spark, Jofa needs to be split up. You got all these guys get off that line because if you want any production out of Arvidsson, you have to get him away from that top line. Put Smith or even Sissons. Put Sissons up top line. You got to match size for size. I'm sorry to say, ever since Dallas acquired Zuccarello, they've been a more complete team. When Nashville played Dallas at the end of the series, they never had Zuccarello. Ever since they had Zuccarello and these guys have matured more, this team's gotten better. It just they've got to do something, and I wouldn't be put a pass, and I love Pekka, but start UC tonight to see what happens. Since the boys don't want to play.
Come on, Ryan, stop it. You're gonna bench Pekkarinen in an elimination game?
Yeah,
stop
you can't,
it.
Yeah. You can't bitch. As much as you probably...
You may pull him.
In your mind, think, well, UC might give us a better opportunity.
No, yeah.
You're not going to pull him because, I mean, if you lose that game without Pekka and Net, it's going to fall on you.
And Zuccarello is an interesting conversation because they acquired a piece that gave them a different vibe and personality, right? A guy who can score but brings grit and toughness and sort of attitude and edge. Well, the Winnipeg Jets did the same thing last year, and they acquired Paul Stastny, who's a high-level player who stepped in and dominated you last year. Now the Stars have got a guy who played 2 games in the regular season, and he's playing great hockey against you this year. Two guys that those teams acquired at the deadline to change the way they played offensive hockey, and it worked for both of them. The Preds' acquisitions this year, I'm not sure you could say that Mikael Granlund and Wayne Simmonds have changed the personality much of this team. Brian Boyle has been effective. But the other two have not changed.
I mean, he scored a goal this weekend. So. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just interesting to point out how good Paul Stastny was last year for the Jets as a rental, and how good Zuccarello has been this year for the Stars.
Have you guys thought about this?
No.
Yeah, we've thought about just about everything, and it's like we still can't figure out what they're doing.
Sports.
the moves that they made. Now, I don't know, you know, I hadn't followed the guys since they left here in Nashville. I just obviously pay attention to the guys that they acquired.
Granlund has been down towards the bottom of all the big names move. Yeah. Stone, Duchesne, all those guys have been far better playoff producers.
My thing is, what do you think this team would be in a better position?
No.
If hindsight was 2020, no, had they not made those moves.
I don't think one guy is going to change the Predators.
I'm saying had they not made those moves, period.
No,
they only gave up one player.
They acquired three guys?
I think they're better because Boyle was for a draft pick and Simmons was for a draft pick. That's true, Hartman. Sorry. Hartman and Fiala.
Yes, two guys they gave away.
So Fiala, I don't think they're in a better position with Fiala. I think Granlund has been better than Fiala, which is not saying much. I think Boyle's acquisition is worth everything that they gave up for the draft pick there. He was totally worth it. I think Simmons for Hartman, I think you could argue, you know, maybe Ryan Hartman would have been better. That's the one you could look at and go, which one might have been a better player down the stretch for us? And it might have been Ryan Hartman, but you don't know. It's hard to. All I'm doing is pointing out the fact that this team has faced two teams that acquired a big piece that changed sort of their offensive identity to some degree. Zuccarello more so than last year's Paul Stastny. They were a super talented team with just adding a super talented player. But you look at Stone right now at Vegas and what that line is doing. Even Kevin Hayes for the Jets was a big impact player until they lost to St. Louis over the weekend. So all the big names had been making big impacts. And look at Columbus, where Columbus is now after they've acquired what they acquired. So it's the teams that have gone out and got pieces have been successful. The Preds are one of the only teams that doesn't feel like those guys are making a big impact.
All right, Adam, Tristan, Bob, we'll get all of your calls when we come back. Couple of open lines if you want to climb in, 737-1025. 737-1025. Lots of Preds calls bright and early. It's Morning Drive here on a Monday on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 a game. All right, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 the game. Don't forget, be listening in the 7 o'clock hour. We've got an amazing prize to give away. We'll tell you how you can secure that coming up to start hour number two. Your phone call is 615-737-1025. Let's get all your Preds calls in. We go to Adam in Portland, who's up next on Morning Drive. What's up, Adam?
Hey, man. I'm going to defend the Joe Fallon. And the reason I say that is our defense has played so crappy. And the goals that they scored so much in the regular season, most of them, I can't remember a whole lot of times where they set up their offense and then got a goal out of it. Most of it was like breakaway chances because the defense created something. But you think about that goal the other day, the puck gets trapped behind Pekka, and Ryan Ellis is skating towards it, and then a star just blows by him, controls the puck, and then knocks him on like just completely out of the play, and then centers a pass and they score. Like he looks so sorry right there, and he just got a contract, so that concerns me.
Yeah, Adam, I'm with you on that because I said that to D-Mace on Saturday. I'm like, he just got knocked into the boards like he was a bug at a picnic.
He got dunked on, basically.
And I know he's a smaller guy. It wasn't like 5'10", 170.
Listen, he got excuse me. See, I'm choked up about it.
That's your boy, the Brigadier General.
He didn't see it coming, but that's the problem. You
didn't see it coming.
You got to see it coming. Your job as a defenseman is to have better awareness than that. And Jamie Benn just tossed you aside like a rag doll. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, by the way, there's Rattle off in the slot, not being covered either. Mm-hmm. So like
right just, there in front of
it, it just keeps going. And now, don't get me wrong. Let's be fair, Jamie. That's a tremendous play, right?
Oh, of course.
Like give Jamie Benn a lot of credit and Rattle off. Those are two really talented guys that made a talented play. You get paid lots of money to stop those guys from doing that.
But here's the thing, and this is why I put a bulk of the blame on the Joe Fallon, is this. Not only are they paying you three guys, you know, like top-line guys, and you are, but this is the line, because you knew it was going to be this defensive game. You know how Dallas play. This line should have been the line that, regardless of what's going on, we're going to pressure this defense. We're going to show up because we are the top line. When big games are there to be played, which means in the playoffs, every game is a big game, then big players need to step up. And that Jofa line has not stepped up. They have not played big when this team has needed them to play big. I know they have two goals.
Yeah, but am I wrong for saying, if I agree with you that the line collectively mm-hmm. has been outplayed, but I don't feel like I've got any beef with, like, I'm so impressed with Arvidsson's regular season that I'm almost willing to give him a little bit of a mulligan in this series.
No, that makes it worse.
Does it make
that
it worse?
It makes it worse yeah. because to me, there's these two players, and I said this before the series start, and I don't think many people listen to it. I said, Arvy, are we going to get the same Arvy that we got in the regular season in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Because if we get the same Arvy, this the playoffs is over for Dallas in five. Because Arvy was big during the season. Had the most goals, most goals than any other Predator in Predator history.
Technically, it was still 5'7".
Yeah,
though.
Exactly.
So it wasn't that big. He was still pretty small.
Yeah.
I didn't talk about your height.
That wasn't me.
You have been saying that, and I give you credit for that. I just think you're saying it wrong. I think you need to use a different phrase because we get the same RV every shift. The Predators get the same RV every shift. The coaching mm-hmm. staff gets the same RV every shift. His
line
mates.
But he's not impactful like he's been during
the
record.
Because the other team takes him away, and he's the guy that they can go over to and punch in the side of the head when the play's over. You notice this, right? Like, he's mm-hmm. the guy everyone's giving the – like, their defensemen are – when the play's over and he's near the goal, he's getting chucked around every single play because they're beating him around. So my point is that we get the same. Like, it's not anything Arvidsson's doing. Mm-hmm. It's that he's a smaller player and Dallas has effectively neutralized him.
But he has
they're
to
playing well against
he
him.
Has to find a way because this is a guy that led your team in goals. This is a guy that has been your spark plug during the regular season. And he has been a no-show. Now, Dallas is doing a wonderful job on the Jofa line.
That's
I get
saying.
It. And Arvidsson. I get it. But your big-time players, this is what separates the great players yeah. from the Ovechkins in them from the Johansons. This is what separates them. Mm-hmm. That they play big all the time. In the playoffs, it's not like they're always impacting the game somehow, some way. And it's Jofa line, they have not done it. These guys are supposed to play big. One guy that has played big is PK. The goals may not show it, but PK has played yeah. big. Grimaldi has played big, and he's a small guy. That Jofa line needs to play the way we expect them to play, the way they expect
right.
to play.
And let's be fair. They were really good 2 years ago, and they were really good
last
year.
But that was 2 years.
Year.
That was last year. That's like the Rock group.
I understand. I'm just saying, to their credit, they've been very productive in big spots all postseason in their career, historically when they've been together, which
so trying to figure out what's wrong now.
Dallas again. This is where the other guys make millions of dollars to play defense in hockey too. They're really, really good. And but to your point, great players like Ovechkin still got beat in Game 7 a bunch,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
that was the knock on Ovechkin until last year. So Ovi was a great player until he played Pittsburgh in Game 7,
mm-hmm.
and then he got beat every time. But they broke through that mold and changed that mold, and he won a cup. Jofa's been really good. They have not been that great in this series. They need to be better tonight if they want to win. That's pretty much it.
7371025. Bob in Antioch is up next here on Morning Drive. Bob, good morning.
Good morning. The Predators started 13-3 this year. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they got all those injuries and stuff. So I've got basically two questions. Do you think some of those people who were injured, not all of them, but some of them, are still dealing with their injuries? For instance, Zubac has been playing well in the playoffs, but I don't think that he has played as well since he came back from his injury. That's my first question. And my second question does not have anything to do with the power play, but I'm going to start with a reference to it. On our power play, we never go to the middle. We're always on the periphery, and it seems to me like that's carried over into our 5-on-5. Dallas is taking the middle away, but we really don't seem to know how to drive the middle anymore. We've gone to the outside very similarly to how we've done on the power play. And do you think that that's a lack of coaching adjustments? What do you think about this?
Well, I'll answer the first one. I mean, this was a team that started 13-3, but they finished strong, 8-2-1 or 8-3-1? Mm-hmm.
Because PK was playing.
Right. I mean, you can sit there and point out injuries, but I mean, I think we would all agree nobody's 100% at this time of year.
No, yeah. And I think, again, counter to the question is PK Subban probably played his best hockey in the last few games
yeah.
and then has been good in the playoffs. So if he was not up to speed because of an injury, it seemed to he seemed to get up to speed.
Well,
near the end of the
Lavi alluded to it. I think toward the end of the season, when the question was asked about PK, said, "Well, during the injury, PK picked up some weight, and he's still trying to get through all of that. Now you're starting to finally see him get back down to playing weight. He's feeling good, and he's starting to play a lot better." Well, it's showing up in the playoffs. Like you said, Brad, we got to give Dallas credit because there's something that Dallas saw in the matchups during the season that there was going to expose or either take away for the Nashville Predators. It seemed as if Dallas made all the adjustments. They looked at the regular season and they said, okay, what do we need to do to adjust this game? We got Zuccarelli back. What do we need to do to adjust this game where we start to score more points but still neutralize the Nashville Predators in that front line? Well, it seemed like they went back to all those games, looked, and finally came up with a blueprint. And it seems as if the Predators didn't. I know they didn't. I know they did go back and look at those games. But it just seems like on ice, they did nothing. They did no reflecting or no film work and say, okay, those games were tough. Let's see what we did great against them. Let's see how we neutralize Dallas. Let's see how we make sure they don't all of a sudden get hot. It seemed like Dallas did all the adjustments, and the Nashville Predators hadn't done any. I know that's not the case.
Right, and we know they watched film.
That's not the case.
But if you look at the 6-game series, how many times have the Predators been the better team? Once.
Yeah. Maybe.
They played 5 times.
Yeah. No, you're right.
They've been the better team 1 time, game 2 probably, and that was an overtime win. So.
All right, we'll come back. We're going to kick off hour 2 with some NFL draft discussion. We'll round back to your Preds calls later in the hour. But when we come back as well, before we get to the NFL draft discussion, we're going to tell you how you can win a VIP draft experience. Be listening. Ooh. When we come back. The details on the other side here, hour 2 next on Morning Drive.